Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, April 11th, 2014, and in today's podcast, we will at least begin the process of talking about the rise of the American Empire, militarily and financially. It may take us more than one podcast to do this, but it's important to know where we are, where we came from, how did we get here. This is an important discussion, I believe, because things are bad in America and getting worse. You know that, folks. I know you do. And so we have to talk about how we got to the situation that we are in today. Let's start our discussion in the late 1800s with the publication of Frederick Jackson Turner's book, The Frontier in American History. In this book, Mr. Jackson premise that the frontier gave America its driving force. The frontier satisfied the American spirit to explore, to risk, to conquer, to seek out new lands. As long as we had the frontier to cross by wagon train, gold fields to rush to, homesteads to rush to, we had no reason to go abroad looking for new lands to conquer. In other words, manifest destiny, or the belief that it was our destiny to conquer the continent and spread from sea to sea, kept us busy for about 100 years. The end of the frontier was a seminal point in American history. We had to then go abroad looking for the same thing. Never mind, folks, the 600 or so Native American tribes that happened to be living in America during this conquest of the frontier. Never mind what they thought about it. You will see that scene played out as we go through these podcasts. But America was spawned by Europeans, and its government was formed by Europeans and their ancestors. This heritage has always called out to and fascinated American power holders and power seekers. They seem to want monarchy or to be like European monarchs. Oh, if only we could be more like the Europeans, they say, in Europe. By the mid-1800s, the Industrial Revolution had given the Europeans amazing new technologies, especially in the area of weapons. New weapon systems were being born, from individual firearms to battleships. Most of the world, however, was still primitive. Primitive people using bows and arrows, especially in Africa, North America, including the native tribes of North America. The ease of conquest made the desire for colonial expansion irresistible. The European power spread around the globe. Thus rose the great colonial empires of Great Britain, France, and Portugal. The sun never set on the British Empire, they said. The lust for power, the more you get, the more you want. It is a strong desire to control others. The European colonies made the American power holders and power seekers envious. We have no more frontiers to conquer, so why can't we be like the Europeans? We should have colonies so we can take our rightful place among the nations of the world, not as free and independent people, as Mr. Jefferson put it, but as colonials. Unfortunately for the Americans, most of the world had already been conquered by the Europeans and colonized by them. The Union Navy was dismantled after the Civil War, since sane and rational people don't want to spend money on a navy when they face no external threats. A navy is necessary, however, if you want to project power on a global basis. So a crash course in shipbuilding begun. After that, the next task was to find a European colonial power with at least some colonies nearby, and one weak enough not to be too serious about fighting a war with a young up-and-comer across the Atlantic Ocean. The people living in the Spanish colonies of Cuba and the Philippines had been in rebellion against Spain for a long, long time. The Spanish Empire was old and feeble, the proud conquistadors long since gone. A lot of American companies did business in Cuba. Many people vacationed there. There was a strong movement to protect these, quote, interests. President William A. McKinley thus sent the battleship Maine to Havana Harbor, where it exploded, killing 260 sailors. Remember the Maine became the battle cry of the day. False flags go way back, folks. They're not just in our day. Theodore Roosevelt was a leader in the pro-war imperialist movement of the day. He talked a lot about manliness and about carrying a big stick and so forth, but it always comes down to killing and dying, usually by children. Spain was blamed for the explosion, and President McKinley asked Congress for a declaration of war against Spain, which was granted. American forces were sent to Cuba and to the Philippines. The aging Spanish Navy was no match for the new and modern American Navy. President McKinley asked for 200,000 volunteers. He got 1 million. It was a magnificent army and a bully little war, as Theodore Roosevelt called it. During the negotiations for peace, the Treaty of Paris in 1898, the Filipinos and Cubans did not participate and were not asked about their views over who should rule them. They were simply annexed as part of the new American empire. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, that's all we have time for today, folks. We will continue the building of the American empire on Monday, barring some disaster. Until then, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.